Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I'm excited to be joined today by the defensive coordinator at Mount Union, Chris Kappas. Chris, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me back. Always a pleasure.
So, Chris, I just like get confused as I was starting there. All right, what side of the ball is he on now? Because I think the first time we had you on, you were, you know, football scoop, defensive coordinator of the year, national champions. And then the next time I had you on, you're a national champion. I think you're offensive coordinator, you know, finalist for football scoop award. Now you're back to the defensive side. So my head's spinning with the changes you're making, Chris.
Well, it's I've had some fun opportunities that I think a lot of people would pay a lot of money to have a chance to bounce back and forth or be able to call some plays on the opposite side of the ball. And certainly learned a lot about football, learned a lot about myself, and certainly looking forward to being back on the defensive side, though.
Yeah, and that was something we talked about last time, is having made that transition to offensive coordinator, what you were looking at, how you saw the game a little bit differently, what you learned. And so now having that experience coming full circle back to the defensive side of the ball, you know, what are some of the things that you picked up on or learned from that maybe you didn't completely see when you were a defensive coordinator the last time?
I think whenever you look back, at any point in your coaching career so far, I'm going into my, I think, 11th year of coaching. You look back a few years back and you think of, oh man, I was just such a young, naive coach at times. So, even just looking back a few years ago, defense, I think you come so much full circle and mature a lot more, and you understand really the things that are important. But going to offense was a great experience for me. I think we changed a little bit from year one to year two on offense, for the better, and some things, some stats got better and some stats got worse. So I think if I was going to be on offense again, I think we would move forward and make some changes again. But going back to defense, I think I learned a lot from being on offense and seeing the way people present themselves defensively. I think I was doing some things defensively that I might, not do anymore, because I thought it was cute. I thought it was, confusing maybe to the offense for some looks that we were given or some things that we were doing. But when you see those type of things offensively from an offensive eye, you kind of laugh at yourself saying, man, that wasn't as good as what you thought it was. So, it's a humbling experience to go to the other side and have to see some different defenses, but it's a great learning experience. And I think it's only going to help me moving forward here next year on defense again.
And making that change, I know the last time we talked about how having been on defense now coming to offense helped you a little bit as a play caller, that you could see some things defenses were trying to do. So especially now we keep evolving offensively and looking for the next answer. So maybe you saw a lot of spread RPOs and stuff like that. Now more and more people getting into like 11, 12, 21 RPOs and those types of things. Are there any of those things that, you looked at or started to see on film or maybe brought into what you were doing offensively that now you figured out, okay, I got to have an answer for this on defense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of where our defense was always kind of built to, as a starting point, to be able to give ourselves some help on the RPOs, no matter what kind of coverage we were in or what personnel we were in. But I think I certainly kept note, and I have a notebook full of defensive ideas that I saw that whether it was just watching teams on tape defending other teams that they had played leading up to our game, or how teams defended us and some of the stuff that we were trying to do that we thought was going to be really good going into the game, and they made some adjustments that I'm certainly you know, kept a notebook up because I, you know, whether I anticipated it or not, I thought this day might come where I'd be going back to defense. So certainly kept some ideas and learned some things that I think that can help us moving forward, defending the RPOs and the different, you know, the different things of tempo and you know, I think I found a lot of twists and stuff that I had never seen before, but really gave you some headaches trying to figure out how to block them or you know, how to get the ball down the field or read a certain person in RPO. So, you know, again, it was a learning experience and you know, I think making that transition and knowing it could happen that I could go back, I kind of kept that idea door open of taking notes on both sides of the ball.
As you sit in this position now, having, you know, really been on both sides of the ball recently, now going back to the defensive side of the ball, and you see the game evolving, are there any certain aspects of football right now, whether it's offensive football or defensive football, that you see as opportunities, maybe that you wouldn't have before had you just remained on one side of the ball?
I don't know if there's like one, you know, the scheme things come and go, and I think everything kind of catches up to each other, and you'll see some things come back full circle. You see some more people go into some more heavier personnel RPOs, and you know, the RPOs I think are staying similar to what they have been in the spread stuff, but just kind of tightening themselves down and making you make some adjustments to your heavier defenses. You know, but I think the thing that I learned the most, I would say, just from being on both sides of the ball and then going back, you have to be fundamentally sound. Your players have to know what they're doing, understand why they're doing it, and be able to play hard and fast. I mean, that's what it all comes down to. Is, you know, everyone thinks they have the greatest scheme in the world, and we certainly believe in what we do. And you know, I think the stats back that stuff up, but, it's all about getting your kids to have confidence in what you're doing, what you're teaching them, and what they're doing and what their assignment is, and then being able to go out, have fun, and play hard.
Chris, and having you on the podcast a few times now, I think the biggest thing that has stuck out to me, probably not just with you, but really the staff that you're on, having coached against you guys too, is the attention to detail things. But that certainly has come out in our conversation that you guys have incredible talent. But there's a lot of teams out there with great talent. Getting guys to do things and have those habits that they do over and over and over again really comes down to, I think, the coaching staff and being able to have that attention to detail within what you do. Almost, probably for lack of better terms, it's a big part of your culture, right? That there's certain things you're going to do all the time. So, I mean, with that in mind and thinking of that idea of attention to detail, what are some of the things like you feel, man, we really emphasize this, we really put a lot of attention on this, we expect that our guys really know the little things on these certain things?
Yeah, and we the things that we do daily, you know, going back to defense here, the things that we're going to do daily are we're going to get ourselves in great position to be great fundamental tacklers. You know, get whether that's drills that are getting off blocks or, you know, squeezing out the space that, you know, that a ball carrier has to make a tackle, to use your help, whether it's a sideline or another defender. I think we really, really emphasize our approach to tackling and the details that it takes daily. And I think, you know, if you want to be great at something, the players have to understand the little details, and they have to do them and be and demand that they do them properly on a daily basis. So I think tackling is the biggest thing that we defensively that we're going to, you know, harp on the smallest details, whether it's a 1 foot, you know, that's got to be forward on the last half inch step that you take, or a false step whenever you're coming out of a break. You know, it's a game of inches, as has always been said, and I think when you pay attention to those type of details and an inch here or there, and you point those out to your players and see where they can make a difference and present them that way, they're going to buy into what you want to do, and they're going to hold each other accountable too for those details.
Coach, how much of that do you feel is really for yourself, for the guys you work with, is developing the eye for details? Because as an example, we've been talking about this a lot on a video series we're doing on tackling, and we're grading the tackle and we're looking at specifics, you know, with some high school coaches, and, you know, it's opened my eyes up. I mean, I haven't coached defense in a long time, but just thinking back to what we used to do, it was the tackling circuits and kind of the things that everybody does. And, you know, I thought at the time I knew the details of it, but now I'm blown away at, you know, how some of these guys like Fordham University's assistant coach Vince DiGaetano looks at it, and he's showing us those kinds of things. And, you know, when you look at it that way, it's almost like, I don't know, as a coach, you think about a coaching staff, the things that you do, you know, you sit in the room with those guys, and how much of that really for you guys having those eyes for detail is a part of the culture of your staff, and I guess you having come through it, you know, have you seen that evolve in the way you look at the game?
Yeah, I think so. I was taught that here as a player at Mount Union, and then, you know, my time spent at Bowling Green under Mike Elko, the amount of detail that Coach Elko and Coach Clawson, the head coach, the amount of just the finest details, it really opens your eyes to how much those things matter. So I always kind of prided myself once I got, you know, came back to Mount Union and that we were going to be very detail oriented, that the guys that worked with us on defense or offense were going to be the same way, that they were going to see those type of details and be very detailed in their teaching and their explanation of why we're doing things and how we're doing things. And then, you know, to get the players to see those things and buy in. But yeah, I mean, it goes back to those little things, you know, whether you're playing a team that you know, it might be a lopsided game. You might go in and the game's not going to be close, but if you let those things slide and you let bad habits be created of not paying attention to those details, not taking pride in those details, that's one day going to get you beat. So, you know, that's part of our message, is that the details today are going to make a difference way down the road. And it's probably when you least want them to show up is when they're going to show up. And, you know, sometimes that happens. And there's some things that we did last year in the championship game. We came up a little bit short, but some little details that we didn't mess up all year that for one reason or another, we kind of slipped a little bit on maybe an alignment or an approach to tackling. So we got to do a better job of it and continue to look at ourselves in the mirror and try to, you know, try to reevaluate how we teach things and make sure our guys understand the importance of those details.
I know another area you mentioned, you know, off the air before we got going, was pursuing the football. Your defenses, I mean, you guys get to the ball well. It gets to be stifling. I mean, to try to find space in your defense to move the football is very difficult at times. When you're looking at, you mentioned that a lot is finding those little things on film and practice, and being able to point those out and teach from them. Talk to us a little bit about that idea of pursuing the football and the details that you put into that.
Yeah, I think we do all the pursuit drills where guys are taking proper angles and hustling to the football and you know, in team periods, or the guys aren't allowed to stop pursuing the football until they hear the whistle and all that stuff that everyone's incorporating too. I think one of the big things that we do a good job of as a defensive staff would be really finding teachable moments on film, whether it's our own players in practice in a game or when we're breaking down opponent film. It's, hey, look at your alignment right here. You're about a foot, you know, outside of where you need to be. Okay, well that clip rolls on, and guy goes and maybe he dives and misses a tackle or he's out of position to make a play by a foot. You know, you rewind that clip over and over a couple times and you make that player understand how important that foot or couple inches of alignment are, you know, going back to details and that pursuit of the football. You know, he had great pursuit, he had great effort, but, you know, things got to be perfect. So it's not just pursuing the football with relentless effort, which, you know, our guys know us. We have a lot of good players. We're usually pretty deep at most positions, and some guys are never feeling comfortable with where they're at on the depth chart. You know, if they're a starter, they know they got to keep that job. So I think that helps, obviously, in creating that culture and that consistent effort to go pursue the football, but finding teachable moments of why we need to pursue, you know. And I think the classic one that shows up a lot, and whether you watch your own team or not, or, you know, you're watching an opponent film or something, you'll see a guy that the ball's in the air and it's a DB, maybe the opposite side safety that he saw the ball thrown and he didn't quite turn and run to where the ball was going to go. Well, that ball gets batted up in the air. And if he would have ran there, the ball probably would have landed in his, you know, right in his hands. But he kind of started jogging towards the football, and you know, it was a missed turnover opportunity. So I think, you know, understanding those types of scenarios, pointing those things out on film, you know, and then making sure that those are harped on when they happen in practice. You know, all the DBs better be sprinting towards the football when it's thrown. Because you never know if a guy's going to miss a tackle, if the ball is going to get batted up in the air, whatever. The guy might lateral it to somebody and nobody else is there to tackle him. So pursuit is a huge thing, and it comes down to holding each other accountable, holding the guys accountable. But our guys buy into it, and we got guys that love football and love to do it, but they know that if they're not doing it, someone else will, and that's a fun part about coaching these guys.
Coach, as we were getting going here and talking about some of these things, you put details into a lot of what you look at goes back to that very beginning of a play and how your guys align and maybe that first step or two really can create success or failure on a particular play. That a lot, you know, you're able to trace back to those things. Talk to us about just that detail, that importance of alignment, and how much that comes up in the course of, you know, film work or practice work, and again, what are those details you point out to your players?
Well, I think we demand perfection in all that stuff. So those little details of just alignment, assignment, that's the first two things you have to be able to do to even step on the field. So, you know, if you're a guy that's continuing and we have to correct your alignment, we'll find somebody else that can go in there and get lined up. That takes zero talent to be able to get lined up. But, you know, that's on us too, to get those guys to understand why they're aligning where they are. You know, I think that's one of the things that I learned as a calling the offense and seeing how defenses align. You know, there's a lot to be said about teams that get lined up, that know what they're doing. And so what if the offense knows exactly what defense they're going to be in? You know, I think, you know, you want to be able to pre-shift as much as possible and show different looks. And I think, you know, there was times where we just got too cute in previous years when I was on defense because I thought we were confusing somebody. But, you know, as I look at the best defenses and reevaluate what we've done, I think it's, you know, it's more beneficial for us in the long term, you know, to be able to get lined up in a specific spot, be there, you know, when the ball snapped, and then be able to go and make the play as opposed to getting yourself a little bit out of position. You know, but there's times for pre-shifting and stuff like that and showing different looks, and that stuff's really good to confuse some people. But, you know, I think alignment is our base day one. You better know exactly how to align. And then with more experience and all that stuff, now you can kind of show some different things, but, alignment is extremely important, and that's something we're going to we're going to harp on every single day, you know, in base defenses and in any other defense that we do.
Coach, take us through the mental process of a Mount Union defensive player, right? From snap and all the way through the play and the things that, you know, you really want in their mindset. You really want them processing all the time that they give you, you know, that kind of player who's out there doing all the little things right.
Yep. Well, I think the first thing is to know the situation. We constantly harp on understanding what the situation is. We got the sticks out there. They know the down and distance is out there available to them every play in practice. If there's certain situations that we're practicing, you know, it's made very clear to them. This is 2 minute. This is 4 minute. This is end of the half, whatever it may be. You know, the best thing, and this is Bill Belichick stuff, that, you know, it's know the situation. It's number two, get the call. And number three, do your job. So, you know, we want it to be that they've rep the defenses over and over and over again, that they shouldn't really have to think too much about what their actual assignment is. But know the situation, get yourself lined up, right? Get the pre-snap reads that you need to get. So, you know, whether it's defensive tackle looking at the offensive guard and knowing where the back of the line and relative to the quarterback, or a safety understanding the splits of the slot receiver compared to the outside receiver or the offensive tackle. You know, those are the things that they automatically should go through a checklist in their mind of, I'm aligned, I know what I'm doing. Okay, now I'm going to look at the things that I was coached to look at this week for this specific opponent and be able to use that to my advantage to not only use great technique, but make a play based off of what play I think may be coming. You know, it's they have to do some thinking before the snap, but I think we want our guys to be able to play fast but have an advantage of having some keys to look at and get some pre-snap reads that, you know, just thinking about what they have to do shouldn't be their most, you know, most time consuming thing about the call before the play is snapped. So,
Coach, as you look at both sides of the ball right now, from your perspective, let's take offense first. What's one of the toughest things offenses are doing out there right now that defenses in general have to account for? I know for a long time, for example, that, you know, it was the tempo. And I think we've kind of moved beyond that for a while now. And we've gone into the RPO rage. But from the offensive side, what things do you think present a defense some of the most problems now in where the game has progressed to?
I think it's still a lot of the same things. It's the teams that that present multiple, I think, formations, present multiple motions, present multiple the things that take up the most time for a defense to prepare for, I think, present defenses with the most issues. So, you know, offensively, whether we would have some new little wrinkle every single week that was very inexpensive for our offense to practice, whether it was a wildcat package with two or three plays or a trick play or, you know, some tempo, or you get 22 personnel in the field and you line up an empty, whatever that is, you know, just to give different looks that throughout a season and throughout, you know, a week of practice, it's really hard to hit all those things as a defense to be prepared for them. You know, so I think there's going to be fads that come and go with offenses, but, you know, tempo is still great, but the empty stuff is still, I think, really, really good. The RPO stuff can be really, really good as well. But I think the teams that, you know, they are who they are, but they're going to build a kind of a list of things that they could do that they also could be decent at that make defense prepare for more than just the base stuff that they're doing. You know, because I think that limits the amount of time that you can spend defensively on the base stuff, and it limits the amount of time that you can practice new blitzes or new coverages. So it keeps you pretty simple defensively.
On the flip side of that, again, having been on that other side of the ball the past season and seeing some of the things defenses are trying to do, maybe it wasn't against you, but just some of the things you've seen out there recently, what are some of the things that you feel give offenses the most difficulty?
I think anytime someone a defensive coordinator has the in his package the ability to go cover zero and bring everybody, you know, at any time or in certain situations, I think that always keeps you on edge a little bit offensively. You know, there's times where you might invite that and say, all right, I hope they go cover zero here. We're gonna check to this, but I think, you know, there's something about a defense that's very aggressive, you know, that'll keep you on your toes a little bit as an offense and keep you a little bit out of rhythm because there's some what ifs and sometimes you know you're gonna have to get out of some bad plays and try to change some plays, so that might get some guys out of rhythm, you know. But I think there's defensive coordinators that were. I love guys that did what they did. They stuck with what they did. And that's me as a defensive coordinator. I believe in what we do. We're going to do what we do. We're not going to create new defenses every week. But, you know, I think guys that were unpredictable to me kind of made me a little uneasy and get you out of rhythm again. You know, there's some certain guys that we've gone against every year. It's just you weren't quite sure what they were going to be in. And, you know, you better have some calls that are a little bit more, you know, a little bit better against multiple defenses than maybe one or two specific coverages. So guys that are a little bit unpredictable, guys that are can be aggressive at times, you know, so those are some things that going back to defense, I'm certainly keeping in mind that, hey, let's just change it up. And sometimes you have to be a little bit random and you know, bring some heat or call a coverage that you normally wouldn't call, and take some chances just to keep an offensive coordinator on their toes a little bit and get them out of rhythm. Cause I think that was the biggest thing for me. I think when we were really, really good, I had a rhythm, calling the plays. And then sometimes when we struggled, it was like, oh man, what do I call next? It was a good experience to kind of see those types of things and now be able to go back and say, all right, here's how we're going to change some things. And these are some things that we're going to be able to do a little differently.
Coach, I appreciate you coming back on the podcast, and we'll have you back on definitely when you switch sides again, but hopefully here after the season and talking about another Mount Union National Championship.
Thanks, Keith. I always appreciate you having me on. You guys do a great job, and I really enjoy listening to all the different types of guests that you have on there. And, you know, certainly can learned a lot of things from guys at all levels that you've had on. So appreciate it again, and certainly look forward to doing it again sometime.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as 3 free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year-round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis, articles, and coaching. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.